This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Last April, Cincinnati radio legend Jim Scott signed off for the last time from his longtime morning show on WLW. He started his local broadcasting career with top 40 powerhouse WSAI in 1968. He had a short stint with WNBC in New York City in 1972 before he came back to Cincinnati. And he joined WLW in 1984. And last year, he announced his retirement after more than 30 years hosting the station's weekday morning show from 5 to 9. Now, along with his wife, Donna, he's enjoying retirement on their farm in southeast Indiana. And Jim Scott joins us this afternoon to tell us what life's been like now that he no longer has to get up in the wee hours of the morning to go to work. And we're also joined by WVXU radio TV reporter John Kieswetter, who blogged about what Jim is up to these days. And if you have any questions for Jim, give us a call, 513-419-7100. You can email talk at WVXU.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jim and John, thank you so much for being here today.
It's great to be here. Thanks.
I'm just here in case he doesn't know how to do this radio thing.
I'm kind of sitting here thinking maybe I should let him just take over.
No. I don't get interviewed that often, so I'm looking forward to this.
Do you have a Grippo's bag with you by chance?
What do you think?
Dumb question, right?
What do you think?
Yeah, more than likely.
What do you think?
I've asked you this before, and you've always came through. So,
well, of course I do.
Now, verify that. Now we have to hear it.
Well, first of all, everybody trusts you, Mark.
do they?
What if I didn't have it? Think about that.
I think I might be disillusioned.
Well, of course. You say, wait a minute.
That's not the Jim Scott that I came to know and love.
That's right. You can't say BS on the radio, but then he would say everything has been. So, no, I always have it. Unless
so
I give
does.
It to somebody.
Now he's tucking it back in his shirt pocket. Okay.
So, Jim, now that you're not on radio, what's a typical day like? What did you do today?
Let me tell you about today. First of all, the one thing I really miss is I used to call up Marianne Zalesnik every morning because we get up at the same time. And I'd say, I know your clock says 5:30, but it's not true. It's time to get up and get going. So that's the way I used to start my day. So I think she might be listening. Marianne, hi. I never met her. But I miss talking to you. So give me a call sometime. I'll get up.
So what are some of the things you've been doing since you retired?
First of all, you have a huge audience. So today, you know Babs up in As You Like It in Mount Adams. That's where I get my hair cut. That's not where I get my hair because I don't have any. But I like long-term friendships. So I went there, and then I had an hour and 15, an hour and a half before coming here. So I thought, well, where should I eat? So I went to Findlay Market, say hello to Neil Lucan. Of course, he's the guy in charge of the Findlay Market opening day parade. He told me, can't tell you who, but within a short period of time, they're going to announce a grand marshal. So he didn't tell me who it was, but I had, he told me a few. That's all I'm going to say.
Okay.
So then Findlay Market, of course, is such a jewel, just a great place. So I went eeny, meeny and asked the guy next to me, I said, where should I have lunch today? And he said, Atiri's Euros. Well, it's sensational. So I did that. And then the parade started. I mean, it was fascinating. Every single person that came by said, hi, how are you? How's retirement? Miss you in the morning. And then I sat down. And, first of all, the guy, his name is Joe Wilmers, recently retired Cincinnati Public School teacher and principal, special ed teacher, beautiful guy. And he said, you're going to be on the radio today. So he already knew that I was going to be here on WVXU. So he's one of your listeners. Then I go inside and I sit down, have my lunch, and I'm sitting next to there must have been 8, 9, 10 people with some serious disabilities that were there. I think they had taken a tour of the Rookwood Pottery and were there having lunch. So I said to this woman, I said, how did you luck out having lunch with such a handsome guy? And she recognized she knew me before I said that. And her name is Julie, and she was with Fred. And Fred has cerebral palsy. And it was just delightful. And I just enjoyed talking with them. And then we sang Take Me Out to the Ball Game, and You Should Hear Fred Sing. So we had, that was my day, and then I came over here, and this is neat.
Well, it certainly sounds like you're enjoying your retirement.
Well, I enjoy people, and so to be able, and then to have this, the only thing I really miss, I told John Kieswetter this, is the platform to be able to give some recognition and hello to people. Mm-hmm. like John and Nate, who are carpenters working downtown. They were there. They said hello. So, but, you know, the special people really that I met today, you know, Joe, the retired school teacher, Julie, the woman with Fred with cerebral palsy, and Willie. I mean, beautiful. And we had a great time. So I could say hello, where now that I don't work on the radio, I just enjoy the moments, but I really can't put the spotlight on them. So I just put the spotlight on them when I'm talking to them. Do you know what I mean?
But you're kind of looking for some way to do that on some basis or for some organizations or trying to figure out how you can
reconnect.
Yeah,
you wrote that in your blog. Thanks a lot. By the way, you're such a good writer, and that was very gracious of you. The blog that's on WBXU.org today, John Kieswetter wrote about me, is really nice. And toward the end, you talked about that. Well, I am open to helping organizations. In fact, it happened today. I got an email yesterday from this guy who I emceed the Crime Stoppers breakfast. And that was one of the first things I did after I was retired. So I announced to about 1,000 people there. I said, my email is goodoldjimscott@comcast.net. And if I can ever help you, let me know. And he remembered it and sent me an email yesterday and said, I remember you said that. And he said, I am going to be the MC of the Claremont County Chamber of Commerce Awards Night, May 18th. So I put that on my calendar today. So I get requests to do things, and I can't do them all, but I'm good at that. I like that. So sure, if I can, I used to say it on 700 WLW, I can say it here on VXU. If there's something I can do for you, give me a call, drop me an email. If I can, I will.
Well, you probably get this question now that you're retired. Are you keeping busy? Are you staying busy?
And I hate that question.
It sounds like you are, though.
Yeah. If I was doing a radio show today, oh, I am, I would ask that question. Why do people ask that question? I think they're being, they don't know maybe quite what to say, and maybe they think people, when they retire, they're bored. And I think some people are, and God bless them, that's too bad. And there are some days when I'm not sure exactly what to do, and I hadn't planned ahead, and that's a problem. I've always had a real structured life, and if I have too much time without some structure, one of these days I'll know what to do, but I don't have it quite figured out yet, you know what I mean?
So. You were in broadcasting for so many decades, Jim. When you were still engrossed in your working days, did it ever seem to you like you would reach this point in life?
What point?
Point of being retired?
Not really. I mean, on purpose, I never used that. First of all, I knew that I was getting older. I mean, that's obvious. And instead of being a 28-year-old in town, I may be one of the oldest people in broadcasting, certainly the oldest at the radio station, and other people like, and I share with you, I think Gary Burbank is just absolutely one of the best. So when people all around you are retiring, then the obvious question is, who's next? And they would say, well, Jim Scott, what's his story? You know, how much longer is he going to work? Marty Brenneman, I'm sure, gets that. We're basically the same age. I really didn't want people to think about that. I wanted people to sort of think of me as ageless. I'm not ashamed of my age. I'm 73. I don't color my hair. I don't have any intention to try to do things that make me look youthful, but I try to act youthful. I try to be involved in things, and that'll keep you youthful. So I wanted that not to be something people thought about. And then every 5 years or so when I'd negotiate a contract, I might let the people at the radio station know I intend to be around for a while. So that was easy to do that. But they were quite shocked when I did say I was going to retire.
But one of the points you made to me was that you also wanted to step down when you had very good health and you could be able to exercise a bit more than you were doing
right
in the last couple of years and enjoy your health, enjoy your wife, enjoy your life, travel a little and just, you know, enjoy life to the fullest without
You're right, John. But, you know, early on when I was working, maybe let's say 10, 15 years ago or whatever, one of my goals was from that perspective, was to earn enough money and to invest it so that when I wanted to quit, I would be able to. And so, and I would, and hopefully never find myself in a situation where somebody could play games with me as far as money goes, you know? So I was lucky I was able to do that. But it would, but what you just described was the process that I really thought about this for a couple of years. While out when I'd be on a Saturday morning running, I would thinking, because I knew that, I knew my contract was coming up as an example. So I said, what am I going to say? You know, what do I want to do? But I did realize, and I think a lot of people come to realize, that continuing to work the schedule I had, and it was a pretty rigorous one, get up at 2:30 in the morning and might get home at 2:30. It's just solid. I started to realize that there wasn't enough time for me to exercise. And you have to. Everybody has to do that. And so you need to be able to work out, go to a gym, you know, have some sort of structured program, get enough sleep. So I never got enough sleep. You know, I'd get 4 or 5 hours a night. And then I wasn't able to do the exercise. And I thought, I'm in pretty good shape now, thank goodness, but this is not going to last unless I do something.
Are you still running, Jim?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you used to run all the time.
Yeah. Now I run 5Ks. I like to run 5. I did run the 10K for the Thanksgiving Day race. And twice I ran a marathon. I ran the New York City Marathon twice because I married a Donna who always was running marathons. I mean, I wanted to be with her. Yeah. But I don't think that I'll do that again. That takes a lot of time. But I do love to run. And so right now, though, you have to be careful. It's pretty icy out there. So yeah. I think I'll run Sunday, maybe.
How about golf? How's
I'm
the golf
playing golf.
These days?
11:02 this Saturday. I haven't played golf for a while, but I've been watching the weather. And so I know the forecast for Saturday is going to be sunny and 52, 53, if they're right. So I'm going to play golf. I already know I'm going to play golf Saturday. Want to play? We have only two people. We got room.
You only have two people?
Yeah.
I'll have to talk to you about that.
Okay.
You don't want me. I might kill someone. But you told me, even though you've been playing more golf, mm-hmm. are you getting better?
I'm going to this year.
We all say that, though, Jim.
Yeah.
That's my New Year's resolution every year. I'm going to get better at golf, and it doesn't happen.
I like challenges.
Yeah.
You know, I tell you what, no matter – I think my dad taught me this. I mean, when I'm playing, if I get a good shot or two, and if I'm playing horribly, if there's a good shot or two, that's what I will remember, as opposed to some people walk up a golf course, and they're bitching and moaning. And they were out there for 3 or 4 hours having a – I don't know. If you feel that way, it's about as a quick golf. You know what I mean? So it's no one's ever going to perfect it.
513-419-7100. If you have a question for Jim Scott, you can also email talk@wvxu.org.
I owe you $20.
Do
just
you?
Before you came on, I went down the hall at, let's see, it's Aaron Back, right?
Right.
Yeah. And you see her purple hair?
Yeah.
She's cute. So
she's a great guy.
I gave her my credit card and contributed $100, but to be – I thought I was. A sustaining member is $120, correct?
Sustaining member means you just you have a certain amount put on your credit card each month, $10, $20. So it's kind
of – I don't want to do that. I just want to –
You just want to do a one-time contribution.
Yeah, and then I might do it more than once a year. But okay. Anyway, I'll be down, Aaron, with 20 more bucks so that I can – give you 120.
And John and I will hold him to that, Aaron. So,
okay.
You started at 1968 at WSAI, which was the top 40 station, big top 40 station in town at the time.
Yeah.
You were one of the good guys. That's what the –
No.
No, you were not one of the good
the
guys?
The good guys were before me.
Okay.
Yeah, I waited until it was okay.
You were not the good guys.
Yeah. No, I mean, a lot of people say that. I've been around so long, people think I've been
– I always thought you were one of the originals.
Well, so. I don't think they were called
the good guys. I think the good guys were really early, Dusty Rhodes, 61, 62.
Ted McAllister.
Beatles here in 64. So who was the lineup? Who was on when you were in 68?
Let's see if I can remember that. I did the morning show. I replaced, by the way. They had a period of time when there was nobody there, and the guy I replaced went to Dayton. You probably would remember his name because he was
– Steve Kirk.
Steve Kirk, exactly.
Kirk-y.
So yeah. And then I met him later on. What a nice guy. So I was on, and then I think it was Walt Turner and the Big T. And then there was a John Summers in there. They could have had – and then in the afternoon, Roy Cooper did the afternoon show. And then there was another guy. I'm trying to think who was on at night. Can't remember right now. And then Bud Ballou. No, wait, Bud Ballou. No. His name, Bud, his name was...
Bud Steig?
Steigerwald.
Yeah.
In fact, every time I read Shauna Steigerwald, I wonder, I think that's probably a married name, but I'm not sure, but I wonder if she's related to Bud, who since died. A lot of those people are dead. What's up, huh?
Who was doing news back then? Do you know? Anybody? Was Denny Jansen high school?
You know, Denny Jansen. Denny Jansen was a senior at Elder High School.
On Channel 9? Okay.
Yeah. He was a senior at Elder High School. He was hanging out at the radio station in some capacity. And he was the person who was sent to pick me up at the airport when I first came to town. And so... he was the first person. I think I'd already negotiated the contract and everything else like that. But it was Denny Jansen. And I saw him not that long ago. I finally, after all these years of knowing him, I played, I think it was at Marty Brenneman's golf tournament, and I ended up in a foursome or fivesome with Denny Jansen. He's hysterical.
It's one of the memories of my childhood, Jim, listening to WSAI, yeah. Hearing you in the morning,
right.
Every school bus ride in the morning.
Yep.
You were on the radio, and I think every school bus in my district must have had WSAI.
Where did
on the
you
radio.
Go to high school?
I went to school in the Lakota district.
Okay, all
yeah,
right.
And it's just that station was amazing. I mean, what are your memories of that? That was just such a big.
It was a great radio station. When I came to town, I came from Buffalo, New York, and it was really pre FM. I think Jelly Pudding probably started right about spring of 68 with Frank Wood. And it was on a Sunday night, you know. And but that was not full-time FM. So it was pretty much if you got into your car and you had five or six buttons, it was, you know, 550 WKRC. Dominant radio station in town. The morning guy's name, do you know this name? You ever heard? Stan
Matlock.
Yes. Stan Matlock had a show called Magazine of the Air. He had, and I was told in Buffalo, New York by Herb Weinstein, who worked at the TV station. He said, Jim, you're going to Buffalo, or going to Cincinnati. He said, you don't want to go there. Stan Matlock has 50% of the morning audience.
Tough competition.
I said, well, that sounds like a good reason to go. I'll go get some of that. And so when I came, and then the other stations in town, let's see, 550, 700, WLW, 1230, it was 1230, maybe WUBE.
123 WUBE,
yeah,
probably.
They were rock and roll back then. They were what they called boss radio. And then 1360 was WSAI, and then 1530 was WCKY.
And WLW would have been JFPO, James Francis Patrick O'Neill.
Maybe probably if he was there, yeah. Probably. Remember Rich King? God, he was awfully good. So Cincinnati's always been a good radio town. So anyway, when I came to town, that's what it was like. And I just literally went door to door. I mean, I'm not exaggerating.
Promoting yourself?
Yes.
Okay.
In fact, I think I told you this, John. I bought an old, years ago, the post office had these three-wheeled vehicles. And I bought one and painted it red, white, and blue, and I put 1360 WSAI on it, and I drove it around. I even drove that thing on I-75. I could have got killed. We could have not been having this conversation right now. So I went door to door, but back in 1968, 69, you could go door to door because people were at home. You can't do that now. You go to Westchester, and you go down the street, and you knock on a door where they're not home. And if they are, they won't answer the door. So then I would just say, hi, I'm Jim Scott. I'm on the radio in the morning on WSAI. Would you listen to me? And then I would maybe give them a little trinket, maybe I had some stuff from the radio station. And then the next day, I would go on the air. And in some cases, I remembered names and stuff. And I would say, well, I was in Del High, and I was on Don Lahr and Miljun. And I would mention the streets. And you know the people were listening, because if you ask somebody, it works today as good as it did then. If you meet somebody and you say, I'm on WVXU, would you give me a listen? They will. You get that personal touch. And no one ever asked them to listen before. So I did that. And then we had no budget for promotions, so I did promotions.
You had that brief stint at WNBC.
Yeah, WNBC.
Now, with Don Imus, right?
Right, right. And huge New York market and a lot of radio personalities. That's where they want to end up.
Yeah.
You get there, and then why'd you come back to Cincinnati?
Well, I'll tell you why. First, I'll tell you why I went. Because the reason I went, I hope no one's offended by this, but Cincinnati, when I first came here, was a place on the way to where I was going.
That's
worked in Binghamton, New York. Okay. I worked in San Diego. I worked in York, Pennsylvania, Buffalo, New York, came here. I was here for 4 years, and I was continuing to want to go to the biggest market and the best station I could. And then I got the job at WNBC. And it doesn't get any better than that. And at that time, they were trying to create a superstation. And I really wanted to do the morning show, but Imus had that. So it was one of the few times I didn't have a morning show. After him, there was a guy named Big Wilson, and then I did the afternoon show, and then there was a guy from Cleveland did the night show. He died, and they brought in Wolfman Jack, okay? So, I mean, Marv Albert was my sports guy in the afternoon. I mean, it was in 30 Rockefeller Center, so it was, like, cool. I worked 6 days a week. And then, here's something to Google. I was only there a short period of time, but I was on NBC Monitor. You ever hear of NBC Monitor?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that doesn't exist anymore, but it was created years ago so that people that own radio stations could give their regular talent a day off. And then on Saturday and Sunday, they had, quote, top talent from New York do three-hour shows that came down the line. So I ended up, let's see, what was his name? Can't think of the guy that was on the radio. They went to television. He had a TV he just died recently. He had a TV show. And I replaced him, so I did the afternoons on Sunday on Monitor. So I'm there working 7 days a week. So that was part of the deal. So I got to New York. It's one thing. That's the reason, like, some guys chase girls, and then when they catch them, they thought, now what do I do, you know? So anyway, so after being in New York for a year and working 7 days a week, and I'll tell you what, it was a little bit of a dysfunctional radio station, to tell you the truth. But I wasn't really that – I loved the city of New York, and I loved that kind of audience. But I didn't know that I really wanted to stay there with my kids. It's a little tough raising kids there. And so then there was new ownership at the radio station, a new management at WSAI, and they called me and said, would you consider coming back? And this guy literally called me. His name was John Bayless, and he called me for 30 days. And so finally I said, well, I'll come back and
30
talk
days straight, Jim?
Yep,
come
yeah,
every
yeah,
day.
Yeah, right.
And, he was determined.
Sort of like Donald Trump is calling you know, Megyn Kelly all the time. So so I came back and visited, and then I realized, boy, I sure like Cincinnati. It felt very comfortable. So I don't know if I ever told you this story, John. So I said, okay. I went back to New York, and I went to work. It was on the weekend I came here and agreed. And Monday I go to work at WNBC, and on the bulletin board they announced that they had just hired Wolfman Jack to do – right after I got out, I was on 3 to 7. He was on 7 to midnight. And I thought, my Lord, I don't know that I want to leave this kind of radio station. You know what I mean? I thought they I went in and I told my program director, maybe I never should have done this, but I went in and I said, you know, I intended to come in and give notice today. But when I saw the bit about Wolfman Jack, I said, I want to stay. And his, I can't remember his name, but his nickname was Num. Seriously, that's what we called him, N-U-M. Is there a B in that word?
Yes.
Yeah, you just don't pronounce it. Anyway, he gave me a look like, well, you know, I don't really care. And I thought, oh. But it was too late. I had already called John Bayless in Cincinnati and told him I changed my mind. And he was really, I'd never done that before. And he was devastated or really irritated. And so then after that happened, I called him back, and I said, well, I said, it's me again. And I told him what happened, and he said, I don't know. And he had already started moving on. He was trying to hire a guy named Charlie Tuna from the West Coast. But then he called me the next day and he said, well, you're really the one I want. So I still want to hire you. But he took away the raise I was going to get after a year. But I said, well, that's fair. So I came back and had a great time. And then when the year was up, I got the raise. So I've been so fortunate. You know, all my timing has been really good. But that's the reason I came back. And yeah. I've been so lucky.
Are you planning to be part of the Findlay Market Parade?
Oh, sure.
Stay in touch with that.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I volunteered with Neil Lucan to be. I'm on the committee. I don't know what my assignments are, but just to help to promote the Findlay Market Parade. So I'll always – and I'm going to walk in it. I don't know where I'll be. I'm not – I mean, it's not appropriate for me to walk with WLW anymore. Mike McConnell will probably get a BB gun and shoot me. So I'll be in the parade someplace.
If you're looking for a home, I'm sure – Kim Nuxall and the Joe Nuxall Foundation would take a straggler like you and put him in his group.
Oh, maybe. My he's great. He and his wife. I think probably I'll be associated with the Findlay Market Association.
Oh, that's great.
You know what I mean? But anyway.
So fair to say retirement's been good to you.
Oh. Yeah, I told Jen Keyswetter, it did surprise me, but I do not miss getting up at 2:30 in the morning and doing a daily radio show. I mean, the freedom is great, you know? I do miss having that platform. I do miss performing. I don't know if you noticed. but I do like to do this. But this is sweet. I listen to this radio station a lot. And Diane Reams is really going to retire, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, she is.
Maybe you got a gig there.
No. Looks like I don't have a watch, but I'll bet we're getting toward the end of our time.
We are indeed, Jim. And it's been really good talking to you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for inviting me to come down here.
This has been great. Thank you very much for coming in.
I really enjoyed it. Well, thanks. So I owe you $20.
You
anyone
do.
Anyone
and
listening
we'll get you to Aaron.
That enjoys this radio station, you know, they do. They do need the money. And so I'll make my contribution. I hope you will too.
419-7155. What a great way to end. Thank you, Jim. Jim Scott, WVXU radio and TV reporter John Keyswetter. And you can read John's story about what Jim's been up to since retiring at WVXU.org. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney.